chapter 2. Thanks, John.
When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there.
Or, il y avait en séjour à Jérusalem des Juifs, hommes pieux de toutes les nations qui sont sur le ciel.
Ketika turun bunyi itu, berkerumunlah orang banyak. Mereka bingung karena mereka masing-masing mendengar rasul-rasul itu berkata-kata dalam bahasa mereka sendiri.
Ja, ihr hämmästyvät, ja ihmettelivät, sanoin, katso, eivätkö nämä kaikki, jotka puhuvat, ole galilealaisia?
Handelingen 2, vers 9 tot 11. Perse, Medeërs en Elamite, zowel als de inwoners van Mesopotamië, Judea en Kappadocië, Pontus en die provincie Asië, Phrygia en Pamphylia, Egypte en die dele van Libië om Sirene, mense uit Rome, Jode sowel as heidene wat die Joodse geloof aangeneem, Kretensers en Arabiere. Ons hoor hulle in ons eie tale praat oor die groot dinge wat God gedoen.
Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?"
Pero otros se burlaron de los creyentes diciendo, esas personas están borrachas.
Taba patras ra aru igara preritaru sangai ubie. Ra patras le sabai le sunne gari bana lage. Hey Yahudi sati, ra Yerusalem ma basne da jubai haru ho. Yaha kebai ko ho. Tio ma tapai haru lai dujao ne chu. Aba maile banna lageko kuraharu diyan diera sunuhos.
These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days, God says. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn red as blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And then, whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved.
Our gospel reading is from John 15, verses 26 to 27, chapter 16, verses 4 to 15. Starting with chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. The Helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me, and you too will speak about me because you have been with me from the very beginning. Now, chapter 16, verses 4 to 15. But I have told you this so that when the time comes for them to do these things, you will remember what I told you. I did not tell you these things at the beginning, for I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. yet none of you asks me where I'm going. And now that I have told you, your hearts are full of sadness. But I'm telling you the truth. It is better for you that I go away, because if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove to the people of the world that they are wrong about sin and about what is right and about God's judgment. They are wrong about sin because they do not believe in me. They are wrong about what is right because I am going to the Father and you will not see me anymore. And they are wrong about judgment because the ruler of this world has already been judged. I have much more to tell you, but now it would be too much for you to bear. When, however, the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you of things to come. He will give me glory because he will take what I say and tell it to you. All that my Father has is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take what I give him and tell it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Often when we think of this Pentecost story, this amazing story in Acts 2, we find ourselves thinking about this rushing wind. And it's quite appropriate that we do that, because the word that's used for spirit, that kind of idea, is connected with the concept of God's breath. We hear it first in the second creation story, where God fashions a human being out of the clay and the mud. Some of you are familiar with this story? And then when God bends down and breathes life into the nostrils of what he has formed, it's the same kind of word that we hear talked about when we read about the Spirit now. God's breath for us. However, it's also, there's another image that comes through in this reading, and that's the image of fire. We hear about the Spirit coming down and touching people like tongues of fire. Doesn't it say it was literally fire that came down, but like tongues of fire? And I think that's worth reflecting on a little as well. Because fire is one of those things that we connect with for all sorts of reasons. Especially if you find yourself in those moments, perhaps when you've been camping or whatever, and it's this time of year and it cools down at night, and there's nothing better, is there, than huddling around the fire. And I'm not sure about you, but for me, in those times when I've found myself in those situations, you can kind of get lost staring into it, can't you? So you stare into the flames and you kind of can lose yourself in there, reflecting, thinking, just watching it move, listening to the sound of its crackle. And maybe that too is part of the role of the Spirit, to help us lose ourselves in the nature of God, to help us become consumed by that and drawn into the nature of God. But there are other ways that we talk about and think about fire. One of the post-resurrection stories that we hear is about the two people on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem. And as they journey along, Jesus comes beside them and starts to explain to them the things that are happening. And if you're like me, then once again, part of that story always puts a smile on my face, where as they journey along together, they talk about what's happened, and Jesus says, "What happened?" And they say to him, "Are you the only person that doesn't know?" When in fact, he's probably the only person that really does know. I find that quite ironic. But when they recognize who Jesus is, and then he disappears from their presence, they say, "Didn't it feel like a fire within us when he spoke? Didn't it ignite something in our lives when we heard him speak. This idea that we hear from time to time about people being passionate about a particular cause, whether it's faith or some other thing we apply ourselves to, we hear the phrase from time to time, that person's got a real fire in their belly. You familiar with that phrase? I think part of the role of the Spirit in our lives is to ignite that fire within us about doing the things that Jesus calls us to, that God calls us to be. The Spirit is the one who sets the life in those things. And it's the Spirit with us that enables us to accomplish those things. So we talk about having a burning desire for something. These wonderful ideas of being set alight by the hope that we find in God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus attributes two tasks to the Holy Spirit, at least in the passage that we heard from the Gospel as Margaret read. The twin roles that Jesus attributes are about being a revealer of truth and then the one who will continue to teach the things that Jesus did not. We heard the helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God, and then a little later on, and he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you of the things to come. These wonderful ideas that there is more yet to know and that the Spirit will be the one who helps reveal them to us. The other thing that we see in this Acts reading is a significant transformation that I think is really important for us to recognise as well. The immediate post-resurrection images of the disciples and how they're engaging in the life around them are not particularly complimentary. They don't sound like an overly brave group of people. We're told they are hiding in a locked upper room, fearful about what might happen next. We have that incredible image of Peter on the night that Jesus was arrested, after boldly saying, "I'll stay with you no matter what happens, even if it means I die." Before that night is over, actually denying he even knew who Jesus was three times. I'm always reminded, though, and I've said it to you as well, that he is the one who's close enough to be recognised, so he got that far. He just couldn't quite finish the task. But we have these ideas of these people who are frightened and nervous, worried, because the one they're following has just been executed. And they, too, are concerned that that might be their fate, if they poke their head up above the wall too far. And now here we are, 6 or 7 weeks later, hearing them standing in front of massive crowds of people. Peter, the one who denied even knowing who Jesus was, declaring the truth that we heard read so boldly, speaking about what will happen, understanding and claiming the truth that he sees about who Jesus is in a massive public forum. This isn't the same person, surely. No, he's not the same person. He's been transformed. The resurrection truth that he's witnessed and understood in who Jesus is has made him a different person to the person he was before. He and the other followers of Jesus are no longer hiding in upper rooms. They are placing themselves fairly and squarely in front of many, declaring all that Jesus had said and done to be true, claiming him as the Son of God. A remarkable change has come over them. It's important sometimes as we look at the stories that we read in the Scriptures to read between the lines a little as well. When people ask us, how can we know, or how does the Bible help us? Sometimes it's the words. Yes, we have a declaration in the Scriptures, you know, that Jesus rose. We have that. But in many ways, it's also the supportive information as we see the way these people are now behaving so differently that bears its own testimony to that truth. I believe that we can take real confidence from those things and those ideas as we see the way these people are transformed. But Jesus continues as he speaks of the Holy Spirit and says, I will send him and he will speak about me. He says that you also will speak about me. That's part of our task as followers of Jesus. But the Spirit will make Christ known in the Spirit's own way as God wills. So God moves independently of us as well as with us. And then he says, it is better that I go. You must have wondered what they thought as they heard those words from this one that they adored so much, their teacher, their mentor, the one they were relying on to help them understand all these things that they still hadn't quite got. And then he says, it's better that I go. Have you been in those situations where someone says, well, actually, it's better that I go, and you're saying, no, it's not. It's better that you stay. He says, it's better that I go, because if I don't, the helper won't come. Jesus is helping his followers understand that they need the Spirit with them. There are times when we prefer to stay with what we know, are there not? Times when we prefer to sit with what we know rather than venture out into a new experience. When I used to run youth groups a lot, we would sit at the beginning of a new year and I'd say, we'd be putting the program together and I'd say, so what would you like to do this year? And you know what they'd tell me? Everything they did last year. How about we do this or that? Oh no, we really enjoyed doing the other. Some years ago, Belinda and I were taking a group of people to New Zealand and we were planning the activities we might do there. And as they looked through the brochures, all they looked at and all they wanted to say were the things they could do here. And I'd have to say that after the tragedy that occurred on White Island a few years ago, I find myself now reflecting on my words that said, wouldn't you rather do something you can't do anywhere else? And they said, like what? And I said, well, we could walk on a live volcano. We did that. But it does mean that when that tragedy happened, it made it really close to home as well. But we do. We tend to look at the things we know and the things we've done and sometimes just want to keep repeating them. But that's how we find ourselves in a rut, even if the things are good. Sometimes we get drawn into something different and we suddenly discover how wonderful it is. And then we do that over and over and over again, don't we, before we try something new again. For example, some cling to primary school, don't they? They get to the end of primary school and they're about to start high school and they don't quite want to go. Can't I just stay here with the things that I know and the things that I'm comfortable with? If you're from my generation and you were male, the stories of the things that they told that were the stories of things that were told to us about what would happen when we started high school were horrific. And some of them came true. But it certainly made us fearful about taking that step. But after the first 6 or 8 weeks, it was okay. The same thing happens then at the end of high school. There are some who can't wait to leave, aren't there? But there's others who just love their high school years so much that they would happily repeat them. We don't always want to embrace the new, even if it's better than the old, because the familiar gives us a sense of comfort, perhaps a sense of control. The new thing takes us a little out of our depth, presents us with choices that we haven't had to make before, perhaps, or draws us into a new way of thinking. Jesus says, if I don't go, the helper won't come. The implication is also, if I don't go, you won't continue to grow as God's person, because the Spirit will take you in slightly different places to where you've been before. The other thing that's interesting that we hear in this reading from John is where Jesus says, there's more to tell you, but this is all you can bear for now. And the implication is that the Spirit will reveal those things. And there are times, aren't there, when we start to hear good news and we say almost to ourselves, if not out loud, don't tell me anymore, I can't bear it. Jesus has told these people so much that's reshaped their understanding about who God is and who they are as God's people. But there is more for them to know, and the Spirit will help them do that. Jesus is telling us that one of the key roles of the Spirit is continue to reveal truths about God and our relationship with God. When we pray for God's direction, we would believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who offers it. After all, this is the portion of God's presence with us. This is the presence that God poured out at Pentecost and continues to pour out upon us, or at least make it available for us if we will accept his Spirit. This is the fulfillment in some ways of Jesus' promise to be with us always. This is the way that Christ is present. It's the Holy Spirit who enlivens and enables us. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We talk about not being able to achieve anything on our own and only with God's help. And this is all that the Spirit does for us. There are implications and offerings that come through the Scriptures about the work of the Spirit. And one of those comes to us from Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel, there's that remarkable vision as he looks at it's a vision, it's not necessarily a reality, a vision of a valley filled with dry bones, the bones of people. And in that part of Ezekiel's story, as God speaks to him in this vision, he's told to prophesy to the bones. And in stages, if you remember, they come together and there's a sound effect that's in the story. It says there's this strange rattling that happens. Can you imagine it? As the skeletons come together and the people stand, but they're mere skeletons. And then God continues to tell Ezekiel to prophesy, and they're covered with sinews and flesh, but then they're just standing. And finally God says, prophesy to the wind. And the breath fills them. And God's people come alive in an incredible way. Through Ezekiel, God is saying to his people, Israel, that they will stand again in his strength. As we look at that story, we are that people. We are God's people. And there's this wonderful piece from Bruce Pruitt that I often share, and it's the perfect day to share it again. When the earth was like a valley of skeletons, you, wonderful God, came among us in power. Your Jesus breathed on us and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Like a mighty rushing wind, receive the Holy Spirit. Like tongues of living fire, receive the Holy Spirit. With love to the whole world, receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, if we had not seen and heard, we would not believe it. That this valley of dry bones should live is beyond our wildest expectations. Yet now we hear rattling of bones as dead and forgotten hopes reassemble. We witness the astounding omen of broken, impotent promises, growing muscle. Surprised, we watch old eye sockets filling with new and loving visions. Cold arms pulse with new blood, embracing lonely and uncherished people. Deadly dull churchgoers stand tall and celebrate the gospel with style. We see atrophied hands and feet inspired to do the costly deeds of Jesus. Bare bones bleached by the winds of materialism become enfleshed with faith and love. We hear voices long ago incapable of blessing commence to sing the song of angels. Before our very eyes, unforgiving, bitter skeletons begin to be merciful, even as our Father is merciful. Grey, defeated forms who despaired of any joy run and dance their way into the kingdom. Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, praise belongs to you forever. The gospel is announced to the poor. Praise belongs to you forever. Release for the prisoners, sight for the blind. Yet the time has come when the Lord will save his people. Praise belongs to you forever. Amen.